You're listening to KPPP LPFM Radio.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Hello and welcome to KPPPLPFM. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPPLPFM. We're adding local color to your airwaves. We're broadcasting on Live 365, and soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM. So today's topic is homeschooling.
Oh, yeah.
Homeschooled, and it's something that's very near and dear to my heart.
Definitely.
But my child is homeschooled, and we've had to have both of our children homeschooled at some point because of the problems in the school system that we're going to be discussing tonight, that I'm going to be talking about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. As the listeners may be able to tell, I'm kind of losing my voice. I've had a pretty bad case of bronchitis this week, so I pre-recorded some of this segment when I had a little bit more voice still.
That's right. You always have a voice. You always have a voice at KPPP LPFM for sure.
Well, thank you very much. And that's what we want to give people, a voice. There are topics that we talk about that are very hard, and they're not usually in the mainstream. And that's what we do at this radio station. We give voice to the voiceless, to the unheard, and to the unseen. And we always want to hear what you folks have to say.
That's right. Many ways you can get a hold of us. You can give us a call and leave a voice message, and we may actually use it on the air. Just give us a call at 701-566-0917. Tell us your name, where you live, do a short message, and we may be able to use it on the air. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP. And email us at cindy@kppfm.com or duke@kppfm.com.
And we really do appreciate all your comments, all your questions. You can also follow us on social media on the People's Press Project. We do a lot of reposting and original posts of media. We like to boost the message of unheard, unseen media that most people don't hear about in the mainstream. And we do research and discussion of, you know, upcoming topics there as well. So you
That's
can
right.
Give us your own topic ideas online and have discussions with me and with other folks talking about different topics. It does help me choose topics for the show when I see people having lengthy discussions about a certain issue. And we did our last show on the real story behind the UND sorority scandal that happened last year.
That's right. It was back in April of 2014. But the information, the voice of Native people when it comes to logo issues should be heard. And the media has never really covered the position of Native people in the community. So that podcast is about 3 hours long, and there is some really good interviews, and is very pertinent to today.
Yeah, especially since people are still not letting that whole mascot logo issue go.
That's right.
People are still entrenched. I think it's a reminder of what we need to do, which is listen to people of color in these situations.
Exactly.
Because our experiences are different.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me back around to today's topic of homeschooling. My educational experience and the people of color's educational experience I've talked to varies greatly from white people's experience of education and how they view it. And I've had a very great educational background, not an experience, but a background. and I say that because I believe that I have been able to survive education and everything that happened to me in the educational system, despite the huge barriers that exist for people of color to get an education in this country. Mm-hmm. And so, it was very hard for me to arrive at the conclusion that I did, that homeschooling was the best. And it was very difficult for people around me to understand that decision. And I think that that is why this message is so pertinent. I guess part of me remembers the experience of backlash that I had when I decided to homeschool. So I haven't really wanted to revisit the trauma of discussing it publicly. But I know that is something that I need to discuss publicly, not just for myself, but for other people of color who might be considering this, who might be feeling trapped in a system that literally does turn us into slaves of the system and entraps people in a broken system where their options have become increasingly more dangerous and have become increasingly more perilous for the safety of their children. At which point, as a parent, you have to ask yourself, when the risks outweigh the benefits, what am I doing to my child? At the point at which my child was coming home and saying to me, I don't want to tell you why I'm crying today. I don't want to talk about what happened to me at school because you can't fix it. And you keep sending me there. You know how bad it is, but you can't fix it. And you keep sending me there. That I had a conscience check and I said, what am I doing? Why am I not listening to my child? Mm-hmm. I need to listen to my child. You got to listen to children. When you have an exodus of people leaving the educational system because of the way they're being treated, like the walkouts that happened in the past, in the 60s and in the 70s, it's an indication that the system is not working for those people and that they're being ignored. And I think that that has continued to be a problem in the system.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So I want to preface the decision to do this program on this topic was a difficult decision for me, but I started to see a lot of the stories of the horrible conditions in which our children are being kept in schools, the perilous dangers to which they're being subjected to by school cops. We did a whole show about the having of school cops.
That's right. Resource officers, I call them.
Mm-hmm. And you can find that in our other shows at kpppfm.com.
That's right.
Online. You can go to the podcasts and look at all the different topics there. And it has to come to a conclusion, as you know, one has to come to a conclusion as a parent, that for kids of color, the harm that your child is being exposed to isn't worth the risk of the kinds of opportunities that they might get while they're there. If you told me, look, over there at the library, there's all sorts of really great programs and cool information, but there also could be a bomb that could explode and you'll die, I'm not going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to figure out a different way to read books because I'm not going to take that chance. And that's what I'm talking about. That's where we are right now with the educational system. Just like white parents don't have to have a talk with their kids about dealing with police and their safety the way that black and brown parents do. White people don't have to concern themselves with their children being, traumatized, sexually harassed, or being, imprisoned, criminalized as a result of going to school and, or beaten or even killed. And this is an increasingly big problem.
Definitely.
Children as young as preschoolers are being handcuffed to radiators, stuck in rooms that have no windows and I mean I could go on and on. The kinds of things that are going on in schools is abhorrent. Even locally, we've had stories of horrible discrimination.
That's right.
Like at South High, where we had an assistant principal calling a black kid buckwheat.
Yeah.
And I won't even go into all of that. I'm just going to say we've got a massive problem with education and with the discrimination in education in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about what prompted the, I don't know, what do you want to call it, a discourse, a speech, I guess, that I recorded previously for the show?
I think it was more like a...
reaction?
A reaction, also a very informative speech.
Sure.
On homeschooling and how it pertains to people of color, how it pertains in your life. It's very, very good.
It's very passionate too, and it comes from my heart. And I actually, it followed some of the research I was doing to do the podcast on mm-hmm. homeschooling. There was an article that came from Top Masters,
in education,
in education.com. It was a really great article,
mm-hmm.
and you can find the link to that along with this podcast on kpppfm.com.
That's right.
And we also have links there to some other, suggestions that I would make for folks to get more informed about the history of education in this country.
That's right.
And the problems and dangers of education in the mainstream public school system we have now.
Exactly.
And I'll bring those up closer to the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. But first, I want to read for you the post I made on Facebook talking about this article and suggesting that all people take a look at it, because it has some very good statistics in there about where we are in homeschooling and the benefits of homeschooling, and there are many. Most kids in homeschooling, contrary to what many may think, do very well and are above their grade average, above their same age peers in public school.
Mm-hmm.
And this was what I posted along with the article. All Mexicans should consider homeschooling. Kids of color are especially at high risk for being expelled, mistreated, discriminated, or arrested by school police. Schools won't admit the race problem, nor their bullying problem, nor the problem that school cops and zero tolerance policies have exposed our kids to. And if they can't guarantee the safety of your children, why turn our most precious gifts over to them? I only wish I had taken the plunge earlier. It could have helped both of them so much, because I have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I only was able to, I did homeschool. My oldest child was homeschooled. There was a teacher that came here and let them finish out their coursework for mm-hmm. high school.
At
home.
It was called in-home schooling.
It was called in-home schooling, and it had to be provided because the school could not provide a safe environment for my child.
That's right.
And so that was different than the way that we're homeschooling our other child, Elizabeth, now.
Mm-hmm.
We set the curriculum there.
That's right.
So I did have the opportunity to homeschool my other child, but I was always afraid to do it.
Yeah.
And there was so many people telling me so many things about why I shouldn't do it and why it was wrong. And I, over a course of, also from my own personal experience of how bad the educational system was and is for people of color, and the way that I've experienced it as a person of color and seen the experiences of all of the kids in my family, my brothers and sister, as well as other people of color in my circles, that I already discounted all of these as being absolutely false and wrong and not being a determining factor for why I should not consider homeschooling. And I've never heard people tell white parents who homeschool. I've never seen white parents who homeschool as stigmatized as I felt when I decided to homeschool as a woman of color.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, they're the one thing that you hear people stigmatize white folks about is, because, you know, they're probably some religious nutbags or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they, you know, they have some weird philosophies they want to
almost teach you like you're a cult or something.
Right. But invariably, regardless of what they say about those folks, you always see the stories about how the homeschooling kids did better on the basic tests that they have for this, for the country, above anybody else in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that it's the same.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been a very, very positive experience for me, homeschooling our youngest child, because she spends time with us. She spends a lot of time with us, and she's actually able to learn at her own pace, focus on what she needs to focus on. The state actually requires you to cover 4 basic areas in education, but you get to decide how you do that and what you teach.
And the way that we do it is so organic, it fits into everything that we do.
Exactly.
You know, so, I find that, the way the public education system teaches, there's no foundation for that being the best way people learn.
Exactly.
Everybody in the same age group studying together, or...
Or 50-minute course work, you know, focusing for 50 minutes on this and jumping to another course. It's actually been shown that that's a really ineffective way to actually learn.
Exactly. So we have all of these, you know, jacked up ideas about the sanctity of public education,
mm-hmm.
when the public education system has not proven itself to be neither the most effective way of teaching or learning, nor has it been shown effective to do anything to improve the economic and social standing of people of color in this country.
That's right.
Individuals, yes. Overall, sorry, nope.
Nope.
So this was a response that I got from a dear friend, Scott Bubba Garman, who is a teacher and whom I deeply respect. And I know he has a great love for education. If there's somebody out there doing education right and trying to do right by education, it's this dude. But he gave a response to my post that really embodies the kind of barriers set before me, the kinds of things that people told me to dissuade me from doing what was the best decision I ever made in my life for my kids or my family.
That's right.
And so I wanted to read this and kind of address my reaction. It's not directed at Bubba, at Scott Bubba Garman. It's not directed at him per se, although I do want him and other people like him that work within the educational system to hear this message desperately.
Yes.
Because I hope that it brings an understanding of where I'm coming from as a parent, as a woman of color, and what the main concern that we have is. And I want to set, a standard for educators. We have a right to vote with our feet.
That's right.
And if we don't feel the education system is doing right by us, we're not going to subject our kids to any of this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I would like those educators to take that message back to their administrators and the people they work with and let them know how we feel. And we're not just talking. We're doing. We're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the message that he wrote to me, and he gave me permission to read this on air. And I'm going to address this in the response that I pre-recorded. So here's Scott's response to me. He said, "My view and opinion is that public school remains nearly alone as a place where children of different class, ethnic, racial, etc. backgrounds have the opportunity to interact, get to know each other, learn from each other, etc. If we retreat further from a public school system that is in need of improvement, then we risk further misunderstanding and increased prejudice and racism. Not to mention that very few people who homeschool are teachers or have any educational background that would provide them with any real idea of how to teach children. I earned a bachelor's degree in special education, and I went to grad school, as most teachers do these days, to learn how to properly educate our nation's children. To leave that in the hands of untrained parents is careless at best. Instead, I recommend we work together and diligently and improving our public education system by making it truly free for all families and abolish private schools for the elitist rich and make public school attendance a requirement for all. Our systems need to change in order to ensure equality, and we won't achieve that by retreating into our own personal, ethnic, racial, etc. fiefdoms." So that was what Scott said, I think I covered almost all of the things that he,
brought up in the
brought
post.
Up in this post, but, have a listen. And, again, we love to hear your thoughts and comments. So send them to us and, let us know what you think.
That's right. Well, here's the interview.
First of all, I would say to my dear friend, Bubba Garman, that as a person of color, I have a very different experience of the educational system and the education to which he is referring to that people so dearly need to cling. I would also say that I didn't come to this conclusion lightly. My stepmother is a teacher. I come from a long list of very well-educated people. My aunt Lucy is in the first female textile engineer in Mexico. My uncle Raul is a chemical engineer. Manina in Mexico was a chemical engineer before she became a certified teacher in this country. My father was an accountant and then he got certified in welding, which is what he did here. I have a legal degree, paralegal studies, and have always been a very strong proponent for education. I was always in the top of my class. I went to private elementary school and private high schools. And I had a lot of privileges most people from my country and most people of color don't have access to. And I had the favor of God. I can't say that I can attribute my good fortune to any one person, to a church, to a particular teacher, because but for the grace of God, someone else's situation couldn't have done what I did. And it wasn't that I did anything special. It was purely that God went, you don't fail. You don't, it's not going to happen to you for whatever reason. That I got out of that system relatively unscathed doesn't mean that that's how it goes for everyone. And to assume that is very one-dimensional, because all of our experiences are very different, and I'm sure that Scott knows that because he is a person that respects diversity of experiences. And so somebody that respects that also would realize that my experience as a Mexican descendant in the educational system is going to have a very different experience than he as a white man would have in the educational system. My post was a recommendation that people keep their children safe at any cost, and that if the school system, which is broken, racist, and has not produced any noticeable benefit for people of color, it has got, there is a ton of evidence that it produces great harm to people of color. Not so much evidence that it actually produces great good for people of color. On the whole, yes, there are Barack Obamas. Yes, there are Neil deGrasse Tysons. Yes, of course, just like there are great black musicians and great black athletes, but that doesn't mean racism is over. We know that. We know that one example of a person that made it through and that did well does not erase or change the outcomes for the whole of those people. And there is a mountain of evidence, irrefutable evidence, economic evidence in this country, that every single assertion that he is making here is incorrect. And I will go through them now. To begin with, he states that this is the only place that schools remain the only place, nearly exclusively, where people of different classes and different races and different ethnic backgrounds can interact. That's the first statement he said. And he says that's the only place they can get to know each other, learn from each other, etc. Well, I'm going to address that point. First of all, I don't necessarily disagree with him. I would make the caveat that it truly does remain one of the only places where children of color and white children are forced to interact for longer than you know, a few seconds at a checkout line or at a park, at glancing as they walk by the street or as they enter your neighborhood and get arrested. Because we live such segregated lives, and Americans have always lived segregated lives, that the majority of them only see us in passing and believe that that is great engagement into our lives and that that means they're interacting with us. I mean, if you think about it, schools, which weren't desegregated that long ago, by the way, schools were the most recent, still plainly evident piece of the civil rights movement that we can all go on, you know, hold on to and go, the schools have been segregated. When in the truth, it's a fabrication, because the reality is that schools in America today are more segregated than ever. And that all of the work that was done to integrate the schools because of Brown versus Board of Education, because Brown versus Board of Education determined that the unequal, unfair way in which the government had chosen to segregate education up to that point did harm to Black children. It proved that children's psyche, that they were basically creating psychological harm on children, very young children, as a result of the mistreatment by the government. Brown versus Board of Education and the studies and the work that was done really painted the American educational system as a Frankenstein evil nightmare. And unfortunately, I don't know that my buddy Bubba knows this or not, but it is a nightmare. Because it was never meant for brown people, indigenous people, or black people. It was exclusively the right of white people to be educated. In fact, that is so much true that my people were killed if they were caught trying to learn. They were never supposed to learn, and it was meant by governments to keep them stupid and uneducated, because if they learned, they might take over. They might get ideas in their head about freedom and liberty. They might get above their station in class. They wouldn't be governable. So they exclusively kept us ignorant. When, at a point, it became necessary to divide the unity of our families, not for the purpose of education, to divide the unity of our families, to strip us of our culture, to take away our language, to take away our family members from each other. In other words, the different steps of genocide, to continue the different steps of genocide, which had commenced with the colonization and the conquest of this continent. Then they said, boarding schools for the Indian. Okay? Then they said, technical schools for the blacks. When we started letting people become educated, they were being educated to be uptown slaves. Now you weren't in shackles. You were going to be trained to be a servant. Many of these servants were mistreated, beaten, and treated like slaves. Their training in these schools, they were torn away from their families and forced to go to, were then paid back by these newly graduated slave in the form of, you know, the money that he would have been paid for his work at this new position as a servant in a house or whatever kind of servant they trained him to be, was sent back to the Carlisle School, was sent back to these other different kinds of boarding schools that trained these Indians, that trained black people. This was done to indigenous people. This was done to people in Mexico. People were just not allowed to learn. The fight for education is a fight that I talked about in the episode that we did in Spanish, on the fight that Mexicans have for education. Oh, we've always had the revolution, then and now, to be free, to be able to study what we want. Secondly, and I cannot emphasize this enough, the colonizers and the European people have had a very arrogant stance on what knowledge is. They came and stamped out the greatest civilization known to man at the time because of their arrogance and their belief that their knowledge, that their religion was above ours. And they didn't even know what they were burning and destroying. And in the same vein, when someone says to me that leaving the education of children to their own parents, in their own culture, in their own language, in their own traditions, of the things that are important to that group of people for their survival, that is, I think he called it dangerous or he says that most people that homeschool are not teachers. They don't have a teacher's degree. They don't have that paper from the college where, by the way, you know, he credentializes himself by saying that he earned his bachelor's degree in special education, went to grad school, that a bunch of these different, you know, he's trained to be one of the nation's teachers. I would assume that a lot of the nation's teachers are also trained like him to be the nation's teachers, and all of them have failed miserably for centuries at educating black and brown and indigenous people in this country. And I don't think that that's a coincidence. I also don't think it's a coincidence that when we try to educate our children with a curriculum that focuses on us and our tradition and our knowledge like they did in Arizona, they make it against the law for us to learn. And this isn't the first time that's happened in this country's history. Whenever we find a way that we can actually educate ourselves for our own survival in our own cultural traditions and ways, white people come and try to take it away and kill us for learning it, make it illegal. Take away our right to learn our own stuff from our own people. It's the one thing we're not allowed to learn. We gotta learn about the white man's way from the white man and his white teachers. All the schools are filled with white people teaching now a mostly growing Hispanic population. A mostly growing minority population. And yet, is it reflected in the curriculum? No. The book that I helped to co-author with Julie Lanzmann and the book that she wrote before that speak to that, the fact that the curriculum is not inclusive. And that isn't even the tip of the iceberg here. Because the biggest problem, the reason why, even with all of those major flaws that I just talked about, even with all of those problems that education has, I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet. I never did. I subjected my kids to a torture I had never been subjected to. And in the same way that my father was not able to understand why my experience of education in America was so different from his experience of education in Mexico, where he didn't have to suffer the same kind of racial discrimination and abuse that I had to suffer here, I could not understand the escalating danger, the violence, the sexual abuse, the sexual harassment, the body shaming, the bullying, and the indoctrination of white supremacy that my children were being subjected to in the educational system. And on balance, at some point, I realized that the harms far and the danger of death, the danger of incarceration, the danger of my children being criminalized forever and scarred for life, that nothing that they could learn in there could outweigh that danger for me. Nothing. Just like Michael Brown's parents, I'm sure, if they look back on how they raised their child, they probably race through their mind to figure out what they could have told their child to make sure that he did not die that day. We're not talking about whether or not my child gets an education from someone that's properly trained. I want my child to live. I want my child to come home, not abused, not sexually harassed, not told that her body is developing too quickly, that she's a disruption to boys, not being taught white supremacy, not being taught to shame her culture, not being thrown in dungeons and dark rooms, abused more, 4 times more than white children are, be more likely to end up incarcerated because of that. 66 to 70 some percent of children that have to go through some kind of arrest because of contact with police in elementary through high school never go on to higher education, and a large percentage of them end up in jail. This is the system, the institution of racism that has been built into education, to policing, to the justice system, to our government, our policies, our laws. And I think he knows that, but he is ignoring that at this point. Or maybe he chooses not to see that point of view, even though he knows it. Maybe it's not at the forefront of his perspective because he doesn't have to fear for the life of his family members every single day because almost all of them are a color that people like to kill these days. I love this guy. I know that he has fought for education. I have fought for education. Yes. Stuff he's saying here is true. First of all, he is tearing down people of color. He says if we retreat from public schools, then the misunderstanding and prejudice will increase. No, it won't. The schools have instituted a system which is completely, to its core, racist and unequal. And it doesn't protect any of the children there, including the white ones, that teaches mediocrity, that holds up the people that don't deserve to get special treatment at the top, while people that, like Ahmed Muhammad, who takes a clock to school, that tries to excel and show how great he is, they get punished. That happened to my kid for trying to do a project in school. We went to the superintendent. There isn't any change in the attitude of the school. When they're caught calling kids at South High buckwheat, when they're caught doing the thing that they did in the drama department with a director involved at South High, bashing gay students, it wasn't like they said, "Oh my lord, we have to make this a safe place for kids and for education." No. They dug in their heels. They never admitted that they would do anything different or change anything. And they said, "You have to send your kid here. And there's no choice about it. Otherwise, we can take your kid away and throw you in jail." And there's a bunch of people of color that are being thrown in jail and fined because of this system of imprisonment that requires us to send our children to a place that is increasingly a jail, an unsafe, unfair place for them, that no one is willing to correct or address, but that we're forced to send our children to. And I call BS on that. I say absolutely not. You do not get to terrorize, harm. That is the most precious thing I have, is my child. And no teacher, I don't care how many degrees they have, no teacher knows better what my child needs to learn than me. I'm sorry. Especially not no white teachers. They do not know what my child needs to learn. In fact, I will tell you that the more that we learn about the things that we were forbidden to learn ourselves, about ourselves, and the more that we learn about our identity, the more empowered we become as people of color, and especially as indigenous people. I have restored the confidence and the empowerment to my children via my cultural teachings. And that is something that all indigenous people, all people of color will tell you. And white people don't have that because they traded in their cultural and traditional knowledge for white supremacy in this country. They codified it into law. And those who decided to be part of the system had to buy into that system that tells them that they are superior. Your knowledge is not superior. Everything around you is showing you that indigenous knowledge, our music, our clothes, our medicine, our science is being borrowed from. Where did math come from? Arabs, Mexicans. Where did astrology come from? Where did astronomy come from? All of these things came from somewhere. And we can't look back because we have different technology and I have an iPad and go, "Oh, the Egyptians were beneath us because they didn't have a computer." We always think that our technology, that the technology of people of color was inferior or savage to us because they didn't have the beep, 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 boop, boop. That's stupid. That's ignorant. Even Neil deGrasse Tyson said, no, just because you don't find believable that there was a culture that existed before you that had all the bells and whistles and knowledge and intelligence of this culture because they were people of color, doesn't mean that they were stupid. They were incredibly intelligent. The fact that they've been stereotyped as being ignorant people that can't do for themselves is BS. And you know what? I will prove that true because both of my parents came here and neither of them spoke English. And what am I speaking now? I'm speaking English. Et je peux parler français aussi. Y anche un poco italiano. So, you know what? I don't think that it's true that the fact that my parents weren't educated in a school to be teachers meant that they couldn't teach me. They taught me a whole lot more than the school I went to ever did about the things I really need in life. In fact, in the educational system of today, the children of today, white children, they don't know how to do anything that's useful. They don't know where their food comes from. I've worked in the education system. My mother worked in the education system. My stepmother's a teacher in the education system. What do kids know? They know how to regurgitate information. Standardized testing has completely failed. Everything that we know about the educational system as it stands says it's completely failed. And what about this idea that if we don't keep schools open and we don't make kids interact in them, because it's one of the only few places that white people are forced to be in interaction with people of color, then there'll be even more misunderstanding and racism. I doubt it. I really doubt it. Because everything that white people do is in a controlled environment. So is schooling of today. And just because people of color and white kids are all in the same mix doesn't mean that there isn't control of the white administration and the white teachers and most of the majority of white schools in America that dictate social norms and behaviors of how black kids and white kids and brown kids are supposed to interact and what kind of preferences and treatment that they get and what kind of access to education they get and what kind of punishment that they get. So it hasn't improved racism. If education had improved racism, why are we here right now? And that's a very minimal view. Like, to think that you're going to solve the problems of understanding of racism by having people spend 50-minute periods in classrooms that are very controlled, where most of the time you don't actually get to talk to anybody? Schools are not white people's zoos, so that they can encounter people of color and pat them on the head and say, I taught Billy over there and he's my student. That's not what they're for. They're supposed to be places where people have equal access to education and that there is fairness and justice in the way that that's applied. And that has never occurred. And in fact, what does an education in America mean today? The university systems are falling apart. Higher education is a joke. That piece of paper, most people with tech college educations can make more money than people that have college degrees. And in fact, salaries have been stagnant for the past 25 years. So what did it matter? A huge portion of people are in debt. The majority of those people that are in debt and that can't get jobs are people of color. We were sold a lie. If you go and work real hard and get an education, you're going to get a job. There's study after study that shows if your name is Juan or if your name is Darrell, they're not going to hire you. And even if they do hire you, you are more likely to be the first fired. You are likely to be discriminated. And look at what happened to our workforce in America. In this country, almost a quarter of this nation's kids live in poverty. And almost 40% of black people are unemployed. Black males are unemployed. 1 in 3 of them will go to jail. They still calculate the number of prisons that they need to build by how many kids are going into kindergarten and preschool of color, kids of color. This has been going on for a long time. And you know what? A college-educated black person still is going to make less per capita on average than a high school dropout that's white in America. So what are you killing yourself for? For a huge debt, so that you're enslaved, you're a debt slave forever to Uncle Sam and the education that no one will give you a job to do? What's the point? Meanwhile, what do you know about your own identity, about your own culture, about your own people? Nothing. Nothing. You walked out with a bunch of facts and figures that you can't apply to anything that anyone will let you do in this world, but you can't do anything with it. I'm tired of the empty promises of that lie. And frankly, with the economy and the debt that people have to pay and the college, the cost of college and the quality of the teachers that they have in colleges now, there's more adjunct professors at many universities than there are tenured professors. And you know what? They've turned these places into malls. You can find articles about that all over. Most of the students going in want to find a nice spa and a rock climbing wall and a really good food court and maybe a movie theater on campus and a good sports team. They don't give a crap about the education. And the majority of the education that's there is for the elite and the rich. There's a handful peppered in of people of color, most of which are bullied and mistreated. There is academic racism. It's a fact. Those institutions continue to perpetuate the racism because everything about them was built on an institution of racism. That's how they operate here. That's how they operate all through the country. So, on balance of all of those things, the cost, the benefits, and the real fact that your kid might more likely be traumatized, sexually harassed, indoctrinated with crap, racism, be taught to be a subservient serf to white kids, white teachers, white administrators, not be able to think for themselves, be afraid of themselves, have a nasty self-image, and be confused about, gaslighted about their own reality of the abuse that they have to suffer at the hands of racist administrations in this country that don't even graduate half of people of color. They do an abysmal job. And your kid could die. Your kid could end up dead or could end up, like my kid, having to have a police escort because they're getting death threats at school. Or being sexually harassed like my other kid. Or taught about a racist stereotype for Cultural Diversity Day. Cultural Diversity class. World Culture class. Speedy Gonzalez. And the school defends it. Trash in. And that's what you are. And I don't want my kids to be taught a bunch of ignorant, racist tenets from a bunch of ignorant, racist people who refuse to do anything. I mean, you can look across the country, the majority of school boards are white people. The majority of teachers are white people. The majority of administrators are white people. In fact, in places like Texas, they're trying to remove essential parts of history so they can whitewash what they teach our kids. There was just a story in the past week where a school, I think they expelled a girl because she disagreed with a teacher about Native American genocide. Same thing happened to our kid here at MSUM. It is a devastating thing for our kids to experience being taught lies and having to swallow those lies. And you know what? If you're going to get some lies and some truths, it may be worth it. But at the end of the day, if your kid is going to come home in a body bag, tasered, sexually harassed, demoralized, you need to see how many kids are getting bullied in school, how many kids are committing suicide. What is a kid, what are the schools doing in response to this? There's a mass shooting in this country once a week. The majority of the perpetrators are white. That is a safe haven for white supremacy. And I don't think it's a safe place for kids. I think that it has always been something destructive. We are not allowed. I don't believe that in this day and age, when people have access to the internet, my parents didn't even have access to English. They couldn't even speak the language. And yet, they taught me. They made sure I learned. They made sure that I was educated. I had books. They took me with other people that could teach me the things they wanted me to learn. And you know what? We have the internet. Homeschooling has opened my eyes that you can let your children direct their learning and you and they can come up with a curriculum that fits your survival, your life, your community, and everything that you believe in as a human being. Knowledge and education isn't just a system, an institution. It's a way of life. And it's a part of your culture. And it's a part of the way that you think about learning and knowledge. And mine has nothing to do with the systems of education of this country. Not especially of this region. So, I don't think that that's a valid argument. That somehow we have to keep kids of color going to the human zoos so that white kids get acclimated to being around brown people and black people. No. Unless they're going to make sure that my kids are safe and that my kids are not going to be taken to the school resource officer, that my kid's not going to be handcuffed because they brought a clock to school, I don't want to go. I'm not going to send my kid to there. No, absolutely not. And, you know, this whole idea that if we just fix the school system, I'm not saying that education and centralized education shouldn't be something that we strive for as a society. But I think that in order to dismantle systems of oppression, you actually have to dismantle them and create new ones. And I believe that there can be a partnership between educators and parents of color in this country to create a system that meets the needs of those children. But until that's happening, I don't think that people should subject your children to indoctrination and possibly incarceration and death while they hope that maybe someone will listen to them in a system that's never listened to them. I'm a person that has access. I'm a person that knows how to negotiate. I'm a paralegal. I worked with a lot of the people in this community. I think if anyone had access and ability to go and demand that their children get a fair and equitable education, it would be me. And I was unsuccessful at doing that on both counts. I only have two kids, and I was not able to, they were not able to finish even K through 12 in regular public education. And that was a real red flag for me, because I realized if I can't do this, if I can't go to teachers, administrators, principals, superintendents, etc., media, school boards, with all the people I know, with all the access I have, and resources which most people of color do not have, and get someone to listen and someone to stop discriminating my children, even though clearly what they were doing was wrong and discriminatory, what hope does anyone else have? They don't. In fact, most of the kids at RELC, the alternative school that the Minnesota Advisory Commission to the Department of Civil Rights, who came and evaluated this community, which in which they gave a scathing report of this community and said that they were deeply racist and probably wouldn't be able to eradicate it because they don't see a connection between the disparities, the outcomes, and their direct participation in it. And I'm sorry to say, but this kind of attitude is part of the problem, because we're telling you, when I reach this conclusion, I do so with much pain. I would not signal to a whole group of people whom I respect and love, whose jobs I respect and love, because I have a lot of teachers in my family, in my own family, to abandon that because there is danger there that is beyond our control. It is not worth it unless I had thought about it long and good and had every reason to believe that there wasn't an alternative. And I believe that the walkouts, the protests against the systems of oppression in education that have occurred throughout the history, whether it was done to indigenous people, Mexicans, the migrant schools, the segregated schools, the RELC schools, the special student schools that they created all over the country for people of color, we know we're being discriminated against. We know we're being mistreated. And when it becomes a crime for you not to go to this place where you're being mistreated, then it's called a jail. And when you have to go there on pain of your parents going to jail or you going to jail, even though going there is harming you mentally, physically, psychiatrically, you're being traumatized, you're being abused, I think that's slavery and torture. And I'm not going to subject my children to that. I don't think any parent should subject. And if that's the only way that you can get an education, I'm sorry. I would rather remain ignorant. May God help me learn. I will let God illuminate me. I don't think that when I get to the hereafter, they're going to ask for my degree anyhow. I'm pretty sure they won't. I do believe that we need to change our system, but until it changes, I think every parent has the right to protect their children. Just like I'm not going to go and love up on the law enforcement community or the criminal justice community in this country until they love up on some brown and black people in this country. Because if they're killing people, if they're planting evidence on people, if they're corrupt, if they're imprisoning people, if they're discriminating against people, if they're perpetrating a mockery of justice itself, and then asking me simultaneously to ignore that truth, to delay my reaction to my own protection and the protection of people like me, to avoid that fate. To give the benefit of the doubt to a bunch of people that have been leading a party of people like lemmings over a cliff for centuries without being able to make a single solitary dent in the economic wealth and well-being of people of color in this country since slaves were freed? They literally own per capita as much in this country as they did shortly after they were freed. They haven't moved the dial on their economic growth in this country at all, because this country was meant to run on their slave labor, not on their equality to access everything that this country has to offer. I don't think that I'm retreating into my own personal ethnic, racial, or whatever he called it, a fiefdom. I don't believe that. I'm calling for accountability of the system that is broken down and has never worked for my people. And I'm pointing out the fact that you can't force a bunch of people to participate in a system that is harming and killing them and tell them that it's the only way. And if they don't do that, they're somehow betraying the system of knowledge. They're somehow betraying this good thing. They have to give it a shot again. Nope, sorry. Why don't you churn some other people of color's children through that system? I'll keep mine. I'd like to keep mine intact. I'd like to protect them and prevent them from going through what the systems of education in this country put our kids through today.
Hello, this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPPLPFM, adding local color to your airwaves. And tonight's topic is homeschooling. If you've just tuned in, I've been talking about why I decided to homeschool my children and why I believe all people of color should consider the possibility. I think it's time for us to vote with our feet. I think it's time for us to walk out of the public educational school system en masse and tell the public education school system, which requires our physical bodies and the bodies of our children to be there, for them to get federal monies. We are now the majority. You know that they can't win elections without the Mexican vote. They can't run the school system without our bodies. And if they're not going to give us what we need to protect our children in the school system, don't give them your children.
Yeah.
Protect your children. My children are more important than the comfort of people that are teaching in these institutions. Being able to maintain those institutions. If you can't maintain an institution that actually helps my children become educated without the risk of incarceration or death or tasering or being traumatized or sexually harassed, and you can't protect my children from those things, then no, I get to opt out of that, and you shouldn't be able to put me in jail or threaten me or humiliate me for trying to protect my child.
Yeah.
And you know, I had a really rough time. I had a lot of fights with people in my own family, and all the people around me were telling me, don't do it, don't do it. And they had all these same arguments that, that my good buddy, Scott said to me. And it really hurt me because it was a hard decision to come to. And I had to make it almost alone. I want to give a shout out to our neighbors and friends, the Keene family. They were the only people that reached out to me and said, you can do this.
Yeah.
You should consider homeschooling and we'll help you. And we'll give you information and resources so you can be successful at this. You can do this. So I felt really abandoned and alone in my quest to protect my child, and I don't want other parents to feel like that. I want you to know you don't have to have a college education to educate your child.
That's right.
There are other ways of getting resources, and there's tons of resources and free information online that can help you educate your child. And people in the community that can help you educate your child. There's groups right here in Fargo-Moorhead that do homeschooling that have parents that are helping educate other people's parents with someone that has the knowledge and the skills. You have options as a parent. So especially for people of color out there, you need to know you can do it. You, if you're thinking, oh, I work, I can't do it, doesn't matter. You can set your own schedule. There are periods of time when you can't homeschool because you've got other things going on. Doesn't matter. You can spend certain amount of months homeschooling and take certain amount of months off, and you can set that schedule too.
That's right.
You can set everything up to fit your needs, mm-hmm. your family, your culture, your traditions, your religion, your beliefs, your family mm-hmm. comes first.
Definitely.
So I encourage people to go check out that article at topmastersineducation.com called Homeschooled.
Yep.
And I want folks to know homeschooling is the fastest growing form of education in America. Public schooling grows at an annual rate of about 1%, okay?
Okay.
Homeschooling has growing at about an annual rate of 7%, and I think that's going to take a big uptick. I hope folks hear this, and I hope, like they said, they vote with their feet, because people that are comfortable never change, and they never make big changes. I tried to do everything I could. Met with superintendents, met with teachers, talked to the media, complained to the school board, wrote letters and articles in the news. Mm-hmm. I have access and power to speak out about these things that most people of color don't have. And I couldn't budge a needle.
Yeah.
I couldn't budge an inch. I couldn't get anything to change for my family, and nobody could guarantee me the safety of my children.
Mm-hmm.
So if I feel that way, I can just imagine how horrifying it is for other parents of color. I don't want them to feel that way. I want them to feel protected. And, you know, as of 2010, there was approximately 4% of the entire population of the United States that is being homeschooled. That's about 2,400,000 kids.
Wow.
And that's compared to 1999. Where we only had 850,000.
Wow. That's a huge increase. Yes.
Huge increase. Mm-hmm. And that is a trend I think is going to continue as the educational system continues to, be a pipeline from prison, from school to prison.
That's right.
Cause that's what it is now. And some of the main reasons that parents say why they want to homeschool their kids are very practical, important reasons. I identify with many of these. One, for example, is they want to provide their own moral and religious instruction. As an indigenous woman, I want to provide that traditional cultural instruction they're never going to provide in the school. In fact, they're going to tear down my cultural values and my traditions, and they're going to mislead and lie to my child about the history and her identity, which is very harmful for her development. I don't want that. I want to have an educational system that tells my child the truth about her identity, the truth about history. Parents also say that they're concerned with negative and unsafe environments at school. Yeah, there's all sorts of safe, unsafe environments when you've got school resource officers, body slamming students, and sending school kids to jail because they're wearing their pants low, and all sorts of other nonsense.
That's right.
There's also bullying, there's negative pressure, there's all sorts of dangers that lots of parents just are not willing to take with their kids.
That's right.
And you have a right to do that as a parent.
Exactly.
Your children are precious to you. I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
Other parents say they're very dissatisfied with the academic instructions at the schools. One of the things that really ticked me off was, you know, my kid's social studies class was dropped. The social studies aspect of their education was dropped, and they kept DARE.
Yeah.
I was incensed by that. I requested that my child be allowed to leave the DARE class so they could take social studies courses.
Exactly.
Because they took a central part that kids need, and instead they replaced it with something that doesn't do squat for changing outcomes for kids taking drugs.
Exactly. It's a very ineffective program, and it's been documented that it doesn't work, and yet they institute it into school.
Yeah, I mean, and it's fine if you want to keep a program around that doesn't work, but not at the cost of academics that they need.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, I could go on and on.
Oh.
But another thing that they said, parents said that was a reason for them choosing homeschooling was they have a unique family situation. They maybe travel a lot. They have issues with time and money. And you know, migrant families, homeschooling is ideal.
Exactly.
They have issues with their schedules. Homeschooling is ideal for that. And then they also, you know, they have, some parents say they have a special needs children. The number of children with autism, and my oldest child is autistic, has increased just in my lifetime to about 1 in 100 kids.
Wow.
And that's just autism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about any other disabilities, and there's a lot of ADHD. There's a lot of other disabilities that make children and children with disabilities are more at risk of bullying, of having instructors misread their behaviors. I've seen countless stories of children with disabilities that had meltdowns because of autism or because of other things, having school officers or police officers called to the scene and having children traumatized and handcuffed for being sick. Yeah. And then as we heard Justin this week, you can have a brilliant child that is humiliated because they decided to build a clock.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that unless parents understand why it is, especially people of color, you're the folks I'm talking to, why their children are doing so poorly, why their children hate school so much, why their children don't want to go, listen to your children and watch some documentaries about the history of schooling. A very good one, you can find it on YouTube. It's in like 7 parts, but it's free. You can get it on YouTube. It's called Schooling the World, The White Man's Last Burden. It's an excellent documentary about the reasons why white people wanted to educate us at all, because they never really wanted us to be educated. There were laws against black and indigenous people being educated. You could be killed if you were trying to learn how to read. At some point, that changed. And the reasons why they decided to educate us weren't very good ones. So you need to watch this documentary so you can find out the history of where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You need to learn what the history is of where things come from so you don't repeat them, folks. Just like you need to learn about the history of policing, the history of immigration law, the history of your country's foundation. And we've done a lot of shows about this stuff. You can find all of that stuff at KPPPLPFM. We'll have a trailer or a link to the trailer.
Link to the trailer, yes.
So you can find that. You'll have to look up the other 7 parts of the movie on your own.
Yeah, that's fine.
And another one that you can look up, I don't know if it's available anywhere online, but I highly recommend that you try to get it. I think you can buy it on Amazon for a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
It's called The War on Kids.
Oh, it's a very good movie.
It was really good. And The War on Kids talks about the current dangers because of zero tolerance policies, the horrible way in which teaching is done, the negative impacts that the way in which children are taught.
The way it doesn't work.
Doesn't really work and leaves them functionally illiterate when they graduate and unprepared for real life and all sorts of things. You need to watch these things. You need to learn more about them. Educate yourself. Listen to your children. Listen to your gut. Homeschool your kids, especially if you have kids of color, because let me tell you, folks, you don't want to be separated from your culture, from your tradition, from your own children, have them turned against you because a system that was founded on white supremacy and indoctrination of your children to get them to do what they're told turns them against you and themselves. So they have a complete loss of identity and have no way to function as independent critical thinkers in this world. I don't wish that on anybody. I certainly don't wish it on my kids. That's why I've done what I'm doing, and I recommend it highly for other people. I didn't arrive at this decision lightly, folks. It was very hard for me to arrive at this decision, but I do think that it is one that all people need to consider. And, you know, of course, I want to hear what you guys have to say about this, too. If you just tuned in, we're going to close out the show now. You've been listening to KPPPLPFM, adding local color to your airwaves. We're broadcasting on Live 365 online, but soon you will be able to find us at your radio dial at 88.1 FM here in the Fargo-Moorhead region.
That's right, and we're adding local color to your airwaves. And you can contact us by calling 701-566-0917. Leave a message. Leave us your name and where you're from, too, and we may play it on the air. You can tweet us at media_PPP, email cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com. We're going to take you out with a song by Pink Floyd called Another Brick in the Wall.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Whose legs is one for all, and whose wit is on shape.